Hi gang, and welcome to another day, another podcast. This is the James Sinclair audio experience. This is the podcast to help you grow your business. We are live on Facebook, so people are watching and commenting and listening in on Facebook, and we are recording this in beautiful HD quality on your favorite podcast of choice, whether that be Spotify. Oh, I said Spotify, I said it correctly. Sorry, Spotify. Whether it be Google Play, whether it be Yahoo Podcasts, which I've just made up, or even Apple Podcasts, which all the cool people probably choose to go through Apple Podcasts. We're here in my office, so if you hear any background noise, that's because this is a real working environment. This is a place of entrepreneurship and enterprise. This is a place where people come to listen to how to get things done, to move their life from where they are now to where they want to get to be. Some people are listening in on Facebook Live. Let's just say hello to Laura Sawkins. Hello, welcome. You are here live on the James Sinclair Entrepreneurs Network Facebook page. But if afterwards you think, oh, I'd love to listen to this driving just through their ears, food for your entrepreneurial ears, then you can also listen to this on your favourite podcast platform. Okay, so it's another podcast. It's another day, another podcast. And today we're going to be discussing the key metrics in your business. I realise that this is possibly the most important thing to talk about for business owners. Key metrics for a successful business is what we're going to discuss today. And thank you very much for joining us. I think the most important key metric for your business is to make sure that you follow what I call the three KPI rule. Number one, we produce a monthly profit and loss. Number two, we produce and we work out our labor to turnover ratio. What does that mean? Well, if you'd allow me a few seconds to explain that. Darren Jackson saying the sound is awful. Darren, I'm so sorry the sound is awful, but if you listen to it on the podcast, it will be beautiful. That could be the internet that's making it sound awful. But go and find your favourite podcast platform, because these are all loaded up the day afterwards, and I promise you they are not awful sound quality, because we're using a really good system for that. It's just that we try and leverage our time to do this on Facebook. In fact, that's a key metric for your business, making sure you leverage time, do the work once, get paid forever, or if you're doing work, make sure that it's repeatable work. It's non-repeatable work. So we're making this video, we're making this podcast. It will carry on working for us forever. Back to that three KPI rule. Number one, average customer value. Number two, a monthly profit and loss. And number three, the bit that I wanted to explain, was your labor to turnover ratio. So you want to make sure that your labor is in line with industry average. So what does that mean? So if you're in retail, usually 13% of your turnover has gone out to labor. If you've got leisure businesses, 25 to 30%. If it's daycare or senior living homes, it's 50%. So wherever you are, you want to make sure that your business is meeting those industry standards and making sure you keep a close and accurate eye on it. But let's really go into average customer value. That's the one that I wanted to track today. So average customer value, average transactional value, and average lifetime value. They're the three that I really want to focus on right now. See, your average customer value is your turnover divided by the amount of customers you have. See, most businesses are always focusing on growing their turnover, when really they should be focusing on growing their average customer value, because that is a far more profitable exercise. We also want to make sure that our customers transact with us as regularly as possible. We want to avoid businesses where people only transact with us once a year or once in their lifetime. So going to Disney World, yes, it's profitable, but hey, if you really think about it, people only go there two or three times in their life. Now, there's the odd few that bloody go there every year, but most people, I've been to Disney World Florida twice. I'm 34 years old, once with my family, once with my other half. So twice, I've transacted with them twice in 34 years. Not great. I want to find businesses where transactions are far more increased. Also, track average lifetime value. Now, when we go back and track the Disney model here, the lifetime value of the whole ecosystem of Disney may be much, much greater. For example, people might only go to Disney World once or twice in their life, but they will buy DVDs. DVDs, who does that anymore now? But they might subscribe to Disney streaming services. They might buy Disney toys. They might go on a Disney cruise. So the lifetime value of a Disney customer could be huge. Disney clothes, Disney merchandise, Disney this, Disney that. They blooming own everything. They own Star Wars. They own everything. So the Marvel, everything they own, over a lifetime value, that business obviously gets good lifetime value out of their customers. And I guarantee you, at some point in your your life, you are putting some pounds every single month through the Disney machine. Just like every month you're being some pounds through Berkshire Hathaway. What's Berkshire Hathaway? That's the collection of businesses that Warren Buffett owns. When you look at Coca-Cola, Heinz, shares in McDonald's, this guy, I mean, if you've bought a Coke in the last month, that's anything of the Coke. And if you've bought, they now own Costa Coffee. If you transact with Berkshire, any of those brands, you have sent some pounds to Warren Buffett, which, when you think about it, Chuds, that is quite an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yep,
Chuds says yes. Tracy's nodding, everyone's amazed by that. Warren Buffett practically probably gets a few pence from nearly every person. Well, definitely in Europe and the UK, every single month. I mean, what a key metric for your business. I mean, if you buy a Costa Coffee, you buy a Coca-Cola, you've bought any Heinz baked beans this year, if you, I mean, there isn't, maybe, can we get a chance on your screen some what the companies Berkshire Hathaway owns, and we'll get that on the podcast and let's discuss that. I mean, that's just what a key metric for your business. What are we building? What is the key metric for a business that we want to build? Well, it's a profitable business that works without you in it. That is one of the key metrics that we want to be building in our business. We want to build a business where people love, want, and need our product. The harsh reality is most people only build businesses that they only have two of those things. So what's a love, want, and need product? If you think about the iPhone, they love their iPhone, they want their iPhone. Most people would say they need their iPhone. Going out for dinner, people love going out for dinner. They want to go out for dinner, but they certainly don't need to go out for dinner. They can eat at home. If you can find a business that meets all three, love, want, and need, then you are really going to build something so super duper successful. There's a good way I work out of how to find out the weakest points in our business, and this is a key metric. Let's find out our weakest points in our business. That's a monthly profit and loss, but also there's a little simple exercise that I do where I draw a line down the middle of a piece of paper, landscape, and I write break even on that line. Then at the top, I write the letters for all the beginning days of the month of the year. So January, February, March, April, all the way across. And then I write profit at the top of the paper, loss at the bottom of the paper. And then I just work out with my finger and a pen, working out the peaks and the troughs in my business so that I'm clearly defined to work on the trough months so that I can really improve those. And then I hand it out to my employees so they simply understand, because you know, not everyone understands a profit and loss, and they can be get scared by figures and not really understand it. So it's a really simple way of doing that. Now guys, if you're listening to the podcast and you're thinking, my god, how do I understand exactly what he's talking about here, we've done a video on this, and we'll put a, can we put a link in the description of the podcast to go?
I'm not sure.
I'll tell you what to do. If you're unsure how to do this, get yourself on over to LinkedIn, send me a private message at James Sinclair on LinkedIn, and I will send you a sheet, a blueprint of how you can work this out on your business. So get on over to James Sinclair on LinkedIn, say, please, can you send me the months at the top, break-even line to work out your weakest months in your business, and you can share it with your team then. So just send me that on LinkedIn. If you're listening on Facebook, just private message me, and I will send you the link to a video that explains that in epic detail. You're also going to need, as a key metric for your business, an effective business plan. This is so important. A really good business plan that shows you what the business looks like now, and crucially, what the business looks like when it's finished. This is so important. You must have a finish date for your business and what the business looks like when it's finished, i.e. what does the team look like? What does the profitability look like? What does the revenue look like? What's the strengths and the weaknesses, the opportunities and the threats to the business now and when the business is finished? And we do that because the person that's going to take the business on in the future, and we're always building a business to sell, even if we don't want to, we have to have that mindset, whether it's going to be the next generation that's going to take it on, your kids. You know, we don't live forever. So we want to understand what's the next steps for the business. We always want to understand that. I think it's really important that we have simple, effective KPI rules. That's why I focus on just three KPIs: monthly profit and loss, average customer value, labor to turnover ratio. You know, I can remember them. I don't need to write them down. I just, they're the three things that I want to understand in our business, and I want my team to understand it so it's cultural. Next thing, we want to be embracing technology in our businesses. I think the embrace of technology is just so, so powerful. If you look at one of the world leading companies, McDonald's, I mean, they've got, they're the first to do things. They've got self-serve now, where you can just buy food. You don't even have to talk to someone. I heard the other day you can order your food on the app, and then as soon as you walk through the door, it picks up that you've arrived in store and they start making the food for you. I mean, hello, they're embracing technology. This is fantastic. And I this is getting cheaper and cheaper in small to medium-sized enterprise. And what's an SME business? It's a business turning up to £30 million. That's most companies. They can start embracing technology. If you want good demand, great. This is another key metric that I always tell business owners. If you really want good, then you've got to demand great from your people. Here's another big thing that I want to discuss with you. Your trusted advisors could be your biggest problem. Don't be scared of a second opinion outside of your trusted advisors in business. Oh my God, I've been hit in the face with a wet fish many, many times in my own business where I've listened to my accountant and I thought, I'm not really sure, and I've got a second opinion, and that few hundred pounds I paid for a second opinion has saved me tens of thousands of pounds. I've worked with so many of my clients, my consultancy business and at seminars, and I just listen, I think, God, you guys are just getting the wrong advice. You need to go out there and get a second opinion. And if your accountant and your trusted advisors know you will go out and get a second opinion, they will always be on their toes, far smarter, because they know, my God, this is the guy or the girl that will go out and get a second opinion. And I just want to say this, you know, most accountants, most solicitors are not super successful, wealthy people. And if, you know, they're not business owners, you know, so if you're taking advice on property from an accountant, make sure they've got a big property portfolio, or a solicitor, make sure they've got a big property portfolio. That's the sort of trusted advisors that you want. You want some people that have been there and done it. You just don't want just being counters in that situation. Let's go back and just have a look at some of the things that Berkshire Hathaway control. Just unbelievable. Let's just go down here, just to give you some of the fruit of the loom. Unbelievable. Do you know that Berkshire Hathaway and Fruit of the Loom? How many people have got a Fruit of the Loom t-shirt? Chuds, that's all you wear, isn't it? You wear, all you wear is Fruit of the Loom.
Why are you trying to get caught by taking the
mick out of me? Duracell. Oh, yes. Keeps you going. Duracell, I mean, there is so many, isn't there? I don't know all of these, but God, this man has got some money, isn't he? NetJets, they're a big, big firm, aren't they? Notable minority holdings. They've got minority holdings in Amazon, American Airlines, American Express. Unbelievable. American Express. Berkshire Hathaway owns 18.5% of American Express. I mean, hello. I mean, I use my American Express. Bank of New York, Bank of America, 10% of Bank of America, 10% of Bank of New York, Costco. Oh my God, Chuds, huh? They own DaVita, General Motors, Goldman Sachs, 5%, JP Morgan, 1.5%, Johnson & Johnson, the Coca-Cola Company, 10% of Coca-Cola, Kraft and Heinz, Jesus, MasterCard. This man has got some serious investments. Basically, you know, Visa, it's a tiny, tiny piece of Visa, Wells Fargo. But, you know, I just wanted to just put it out there, you know, these, the key metrics for, you know, these great people. I know we went off subject there a little bit, but just shows you just how much Warren Buffett controls. And I would say most of us pretty much every day are sending a few pence towards Berkshire Hathaway. Hope you really enjoyed this podcast. If you've really loved enjoying listening to this, please recommend it to other friends that you think might benefit from listening to our stuff. Make sure you hit subscribe, leave us a little cheeky review so that we can get out to the world and help more people grow their business. Muchas gracias. Bonjour for now. Bye-bye.